Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Charles, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
Ready to talk Mariah this week, Trevor? You have a choice. We're going to be talking a lot of Mariah this week. Lots to talk about this week, chart-wise, and a lot of that is about Mariah Carey. She's back on the Billboard Hot 100. She's on the Billboard 200. So really going to get into everything going on Mariah chart-wise. I guess we'll talk about some other people on the charts too. Might as well.
Well, we'll certainly do that, because of course we're going to run down all the action at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 this week. After that, we're going to take a special focus looking at Mariah Carey's top 20 hits on the Hot 100. And as I'm sure many Mariah Carey fans know, she has 18 number ones. So, you know, nearly that entire countdown will be taken up by number one singles. So we'll dive into that as well. We're also going to bring in three friends of the podcast at separate times. Not going to be a, you know, sort of a battle royale, but we're going to bring in some people to discuss the new album Caution, which debuts in the top five of the Billboard 200 this week. We're going to get their thoughts on it and see if this was the album that people were expecting from Mariah in 2018. And as a lot of the reviews and the social media feedback has been extremely positive, we're going to see what that means in terms of Mariah going forward and where this album fits in her discography. So a lot to talk about with Mariah Carey. But first, we're going to throw things over to the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100. Here is this week's countdown. Check it out.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's water turn Atlantic. Night calling in a phantom.
Number 10.
Don't you panic. Took an island, fled the mansion. Drop the roof, more expansion. Drive a coupe, you can stand it. Bitches undercover.
In the sheets, off this way, doing all these shows.
Number 9.
I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little fire, she been on my mind. Soon as I get back, she can stay. Do this all the
time. You gonna find me, do what I want.
Number 8.
When I come through, I need you.
Number 4.
I used to bust it to the dance.
Now I hit the FBO with duffels in my hands.
Number
I did
two.
Half a Xan, 13 hours till I land. Had me out like a light.
Thank you, next, thank you. Next,
and number
next,
one.
Thank you, next. I'm so fucking grateful for my ex. Thank you, next, thank you. Next, thank you.
So is it ironic, coincidental, just a chance that, of course, in a week we're talking about Mariah Carey, who is on top of the Billboard Hot 100, but Ariana Grande.
Create a competition.
I was gonna say, was that beef dead? And I just, you know, pumped some life back into it. Ariana Grande, yes, once again, number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with her first number one hit, Thank You Next. This makes it 3 weeks in a row. So the song that really came out as a surprise out of nowhere, really showing some good legs moving forward. Gonna have some tough competition in the next couple of weeks, though. It barely hangs on to number one above Sicko Mode, Travis Scott, which has been patiently waiting in the number two spot for a while now. So going forward, looks like, unless something kind of drops out of the sky, that those two are going to be battling for the number one spot in the near future.
Well, there is something dropping out of the sky.
There is something that is, as far as we know, coming soon that has been really teased on social media, and that would be the music video for Thank You Next, kind of that one element that is not out there yet. And if you've been following Ariana on Twitter or you've seen a lot of the retweets, it really looks like it's going to be sort of a millennials grab bag. There's been some scenes from Mean Girls and a trailer that she put out. There's been some pictures behind the scenes of the cheerleaders from Bring It On that they're dressed up as. So there seems to be a lot of those kind of early 2000s movies that are going to tap into that nostalgia. And it feels like when the clip hits, it's going to be one of the biggest music videos of the year. So we'll look out for that video, which, you know, given the buzz that it could be, could keep Ariana in the top spot for a couple weeks to come.
But if it comes out, say, on Friday, that would affect not next week's Hot 100, but the week after, which really puts next week, as far as we know, we don't know what's going to happen. The way Thank You at the Moment was falling in streaming and the way Sicko Mode is holding on. Potential number one there. Halsey's moving up. Happier still doing well at number three.
Yo, that Halsey joint is good.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to like that song as much as I do.
So Thank You Next is still number one in streaming. Without You is number one in sales. And number six, new career high for Panic! At the Disco, passes the number seven peak of Irate Sins Not Tragedies back in 2006. That takes over number one on the radio songs chart this week. So different number ones in every metric of the Hot 100. Interesting, too, as they point them all out back to back. Two pop songs and, you know, a rock pop song. We've been talking about hip-hop the entire year. We get to the end of the year, Drake maybe finally cooled off a little bit. We have pop and rock.
Ooh, look at that. Gary, aren't you excited? No more of that pesky hip-hop in the way.
Pointing out the facts.
No more with the Drake and Cardi B and Post Malone. Let's get back to the roots.
So that's all in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need.
Just outside.
I don't care.
As of now, maybe soon back in the top 10. All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah.
Just outside. Yeah. Gary has a generous definition outside.
Well, it's going to rise every week. If past years are a pattern, song re-enters, and it's gotten towards the top 10 every year until last year, finally broke through 24 years after its release. All I Want for Christmas Is You finally became a top 10 hit for Mariah. Number 9 last year, maybe. Could be higher this year. I don't know if it has a chance to get to number one, but the fans are, after the Justice for Glitter campaign, maybe there's going to be a All I Want for Christmas Is You for number one campaign.
All I Want for Christmas is a number one. Yeah. I mean, the fans have been having their eye on that for a long time. Of course, if it does go to number one, that would give Mariah 19 number ones, just one shy of the Beatles record. The Beatles aren't recording any new music from what I understand. So, you know, if that happens, there'd be a real push to get her that record that a lot of people wanted to have.
Over on the Billboard 200, number one for a third time, Mumford & Sons with their new album Delta, the band previously led with Babel in 2012 and Wilder Mind in 2015. Number two, Michael Bublé, his eighth top 10 on the Billboard 200. Maybe kind of forget how he's been around long enough to have eight top 10s going back, 15 years at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been one of those consistent performers and I think a couple Christmas albums have also helped. So, yeah, I mean, also, of course, very nice to see him recording again. I know he took some time off with his son's cancer diagnosis a few years ago. So nice to see him back in the studio and putting out some new music.
And look who just happens to be new at number 5 on the Billboard 200. Mariah, with Caution, number 1 on top R&B hip-hop albums, first since 2014. We said we're going to be talking a lot of Mariah this week. Should we really, is this really where we start the Mariah onslaught at this point, Trevor?
Yeah, I guess if you're not a lamb, maybe this is where we part ways. Or if you're not a lamb and you want to listen about what makes Mariah so special and why she has such a big legion of fans, maybe you can keep going.
All right, so we figured we'd count down Mariah Carey's 20 biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits throughout her career. It's based on chart performance, the formula we use for the greatest of all time charts, where we just this summer did the top 600 hits of all time on the Hot 100. So based on a combination of weeks on the chart, weeks in the top 10, weeks at number one, weighting eras so that songs in the 60s can compete with more recent times when songs on average spend a lot more time on the chart. So that's the math behind the countdown. But yeah, Mariah's top 20 hits, you said before, Trevor, 18 number ones. We're actually going to hear 16 of those number ones coming up in the top 20. So a couple of her number ones didn't even make it. Good sign of how big of an artist you are when we count down your 20 biggest hits and some number ones can't even make it. So let's get into it. Top 20 hits for Mariah Carey. Also going to talk the new album Caution with three friends coming up. So we'll get to that on the way. Right now, number 20 through number 16, Mariah's biggest hits on the Billboard Sharpie podcast. Through 16, Mariah Carey's biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits, starting back in 1999 with Heartbreaker from the Rainbow album, number one for 2 weeks. I'll Be There from MTV Unplugged. Big deal because we hadn't really heard Mariah live in any kind of a setting other than she'd been on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. She'd been on Arsenio to set the frame of early 90s. But the MTV Unplugged album really showed that she wasn't just a studio creation. She could sing live. She wouldn't tour until 1993 on her own, an actual tour. But I'll Be There certainly proved it.
That stage fright, yeah. She had a victim of that.
Number 18, Don't Forget About Us, 2 weeks at number one, 2005, 2006. Song probably is a little bit forgotten because it's kind of in the shadow of song we're here later in the countdown, We Belong Together. Kind of that similar, that smooth side of Mariah.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you want to look, if We Belong Together as a little pop R&B, maybe Don't Forget About Us is a little more the R&B cousin, but I think just because of how big a year she had had, and Don't Forget About Us was not on the original album, and it was on the re-release and just kind of jumped up the charts so quickly that Yeah, I think that's a good sort of sum up of what happened to it.
Number 17, Honey from Butterfly, 1997. I think a lot of fans know that with each single, each first single she put out in the 90s from a new album, kept getting a little bit more hip hop. We'll trace some of those coming up from Dream Lover to Fantasy. But to me, it always felt like Honey was maybe the one that really took her into her own direction that she really wanted, which is really clear by the video where she's really not subtly at all coming out and saying that she'd broken out of whatever Sony Tommy Mottola wanted. And this was Mariah on her own terms. 3 weeks at number one, 1997 on the Hot 100, and a number two hit, a song that actually didn't go to number one by Mariah in early 1992, Can't Let Go.
Infamous in the catalog.
Yeah, it would have been her sixth straight number one. She had five from the start of her career before then. Still number two hit.
You know, I put out a Twitter poll recently about which of Mariah's number two should have gone number one, and a lot of fans really, really laying the blame for this at Tommy Mottola's feet, thinking he somehow sabotaged the song to sort of teach Mariah a lesson about who was really in charge. Like you said, five number ones out of the gate. Don't want her getting too big too quick. We can stop those number ones if we want to.
All right, let's keep talking Caution, the new album, bringing the first of our guests this week. My friend Michelle, who you're going to meet, Trevor, in just a moment, talking about Caution on the Billboard Sharpie podcast.
I met my man. Proceed with caution. Don't be dishonest. I need you closer to love me hard. Caution, face to face, and touch me in a different kind of way. See with caution, but don't make me wait. Before too long, it just might fade away. See with caution, 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 caution. Do you want more material?
All right, so my friend Michelle is on the phone. Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Trevor, you and Michelle just met. You just said hello for the first time ever, but you're both involved in a really funny story, Trevor, that you don't even know about. Can I just tell it real quick?
Please do.
All right. So Michelle, we've been friends for almost 25 years, right? We started working together in radio back in 1994, I think.
A long time.
Yeah. So Michelle and I have been friends for a long time, and we were friends on Facebook. We'd be in touch that way. But in recent years, Michelle was off Facebook, so we haven't been in touch. And we just started talking again more regularly recently, which is really nice. And we started texting. So here's a key thing to remember. Trevor, you and Michelle both have very similar phone numbers that start with similar numbers that are not New York, not this area.
And not about to be publicly revealed.
Yeah. But so you guys have similar numbers. So Michelle, I started texting again. And then it was on Halloween.
Yeah.
I was looking for you, Trevor. And you were at a Halloween party. We needed to come do a phone call. So I didn't want to bother you during the party. So I thought I texted you and I said, come on in. We need to talk about the Hot 100. And then I got a response saying, I'm ready. And then there was no other response. Then I found out like a week and a half later, I had texted Michelle and not you, Trevor, about, I need you to be ready right now for this call. To her credit, Michelle was like, sure, I'll be ready. Not even knowing what it was about, but such a good friend. She agreed.
You know my favorite part about this story? Does this mean that Gary does not have my phone number saved as a contact and he could not see the name of the person he is texting?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. You know that's a good thought there. Because as he's telling the story, it's making me think that because he thought our numbers were similar, then our names aren't in there at all in his phone.
So I just thought I'd tell a nice funny story that turns out I've gotten in trouble with both of you. Is that what just happened?
I mean, I'm going to whip out my phone right now and take Gary's name out for good, because I don't... How do you disrespect somebody so recklessly, like, to not even save my... I mean, I've worked with Gary for, almost 4 years now. Like, it's been a whole presidential term. It's been a whole, you know, life cycle. And he doesn't even have the decency to save my number in his phone?
Well, I've known Michelle now for about 25 years. I don't same thing for so you've got a long way to go.
Do you save
25 years?
Do you save anybody's number?
And I'm not in his phone.
Yeah, I guess I should just say I don't save anyone's number. So you got nothing to worry about. That's all it is.
Do you memorize the numbers? How do you? I mean, how many people do you talk to? This is what I want to talk about. How many people do you talk to that you can just text through numbers? That doesn't get confusing.
If I need you, I'll find you. How about that?
Boy, the whole conversation just turned on you, Gary. I don't know what you're going to do here to get yourself out of this.
This is a great idea I came up with, wasn't it?
Well, luckily for Gary, we'll give him a break on this. We'll
Hold on. Mariah Carey is texting me. Her name just came up on my phone.
I would laugh if I even had a hint of believing that that was even a possibility. All right, speaking of, and the name we floated around a lot here, Mariah Carey back, and really back in a lot of ways in the public eye in the past couple of weeks. A huge amount of promotion around this last album, Caution, that came out, debuted at number 5 on the Billboard 200. She was everywhere, it felt like, this past week. She's been on Good Morning America. She was on Ryan and Kelly.
Yeah.
She was on, I mean, she was doing stuff for Pandora, for Genius, for TRL. I mean, it just felt like, you know, any medium Mariah could be on. She really made an all-out effort with this album. And, you know, generally it seems like, at least the Twitter takes that you get, a lot of people, big fans of the record. And I know Michelle here apparently was texting Gary, who does not have his...
I think it was Michelle. But I remember, Michelle, going way back to when Music Box was out, you've always been a big Mariah fan. So you texted me and said, I love the new Mariah album. So yeah, give us your review of what you think of Caution.
Yeah, I do, actually. I really, really love it. With You and Stay Long, Love You song, and the Portrait song. And I think it's really, I was really happy because it just seems so relevant. And in the last few years, a lot of the stuff she's released, although I liked it, it just didn't seem like it was catching on, like, to people currently. You know, like, I have a 9-year-old, and I played that Caution album on Spotify the other day. We were doing an art project at home, and she was, like, dancing to all of the songs. Like, she loved it. And when I had ever played her something from, like, the 90s or, you know, from, like, when we used to work together, Carrie, like, from, you know, the Music Box and stuff, that time period, like, she was just like, I don't like it. Like, and she could appreciate her voice, and she could appreciate how high she sang. But she was, like, literally dancing in my kitchen to this record, which I'm calling a record, which I shouldn't probably call it a record, but... You know, it just, I don't know, I just loved it. I thought almost every song was catchy and really great.
And that's what a lot of people are saying. The word relevant is coming up. And I'm thinking back to her last album in 2014 and the first single, You're Mine, which I really liked, but I think it's probably pretty fair to say it was kind of a rewrite of We Belong Together. It felt like she was really trying to channel the sound of some of her past hits. And this time it doesn't feel like she's doing that as much.
Yeah, I think it did seem like that in the last couple of albums. Like, it was just her trying to be who she was 20 years ago, and it just didn't, and I don't think it worked. Like, she's still an amazing artist. That's a given.
Caution. You know? I think the title cut's really good,
Caution.
Too. Yeah, it kind of has the hook to Caution just really feels unique.
And I'll tell you, too, I'm surprised, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I really like that GTFO song, and I remember when it came out, it didn't seem like it was a hit, but I thought it was really catchy.
Yeah, it was one of those sort of promo singles that, I mean, even Mariah said herself in one of the Genius interviews that it was kind of a song that she just wanted to put out for the moment, and she was like, you know, it wasn't really a single, but it was just sort of the intro record that she wanted to set the tone with, and you know, sort of play tastemaker with. But yeah, I mean, when I first heard that song, like, I thought it was, you know, I guess it's maybe just based on the title and the main lyric itself, it felt a little interesting because it was like, you know, I mean, here's Mariah Carey saying, get the fuck out, which, you know, on first glance seems like it's a little like, are you trying to do something edgy, you know, to make yourself, you know, here's a new dimension of Mariah you haven't seen before. But yeah, in the tone of the album, and even though it is the first track on the album, it blends a lot better than I was hoping. I was a little worried about the album when I first heard that song because I was like, is this going to be another play for importance or, you know, yeah. here's bad Mariah or whatever. And I think, yeah, I mean, just the mellowness of it all is a really strong selling point, which maybe sounds a little contradictory that, you know, it's just kind of so like laid back and easygoing that it doesn't necessarily force itself to stand out, but that's in a way what makes it so good.
Yeah.
So favorite track on the album, you've kind of floated a couple that you like, GTFO, Eighth Grade. Which one for you is the one that, if you were sitting up at the top of Sony Records and you needed a new single, what song would you go after?
I think it's kind of a toss up, I think, between Portrait and that Stay Long Love You song. I like them both. Let me think. I think I'm going to go with Portrait.
I'll be interested to see what where they go with the album, because so much of the sound is sort of contemporary, but you know, there'll be people who believe that, you know, her time has kind of come and gone, and it'll be hard to sell Mariah on maybe contemporary radio. And do they lean a little more towards the adult audience with that kind of song? Or
With You is the AC single. It's gotten to number 11 so far. It's doing really well. Apparently there's going to be a remix coming out of A No-No, which really seems to be a favorite among fans as well.
Is that actually going to happen, or is that rumored to happen?
It's rumored for now, but it's getting a lot of buzz.
And for the record, for people who don't know, the song samples Crush on You, that Lil' Kim hit. So Lil' Kim apparently might jump on the track. People thinking, I've seen some talk that Cardi B should get on there as well, because I think Mariah wants to work with Lil' Kim and Cardi B. So, and, I mean, obviously we know how big Cardi B is on the charts. So if you're looking towards, you know, top 40, top 10 single, Cardi B is next to Drake, probably the surest bet out there.
Yeah. And I mean, on a personal note, I'm really glad that it's a success for her, because she hasn't had in the last couple of years have been pretty rough, and with her management and what happened at New Year's Eve, I just think she finally deserves to come back around and be on top again.
I'm going to go put your name in my phone, maybe Trevor's as well. We'll see.
Thank you for including me on your podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, our thanks to Michelle for her thoughts on Caution. Let's jump back into the countdown. We are going from numbers 15 through number 11, counting down Mariah Carey's top 20 hits here on the Billboard Hot 100. Let's go.
Caution. Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it. Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. As long as you want, you know I got it.
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, number 15, actually a feature from Mariah Carey here, and a number 3 hit back in 2003, so that's as low as we're going to go. All these songs were at least number 3 hits on the countdown, so of course, once again, just shows how impressive her resume is. That's the song I Know What You Want, Busta Rhymes and Flip Mode Squad, Mariah Carey handling the hook. Mariah, a big fan of hip-hop, even if it wasn't necessarily evident in the first part of her career, but of course, by 2003... out on her own, teaming up with Busta Rhymes to do this hook, and her voice, in a way, you know, something kind of cool about the effect that I don't think we really had heard before. I mean, I'm not gonna repeat it, but there's something kind of, you know, just like I don't know, that hook on that vocal is so interesting, because when you hear her sort of sing her verse part later, that's, you know, it's Mariah when you hear it, but there's something about, just something about the character of that hook that I think is a really cool flavor, and I think it maybe exposed her to people who would not have necessarily known her from her 90s heyday. Right above that, number 14, back in the wheelhouse, a Mariah ballad. The song My All, number 1 for 1 week back in 1998 off the Butterfly album, her second number 1 there. I think one of those songs, again, that's just quintessential Mariah. Such a great song.
Yeah, and a little more guitar-oriented for a Mariah ballad. It kind of makes that one stand out a little bit.
All right, at number 13, probably one of those more quintessential Mariah ballads, talking Without You, a cover of the Harry Nilsson song from the 1970s, got to number 3 in 1994. And Mariah, throughout her career, has turned some big covers into big hits as well. We saw number 19, I'll Be There by the Jackson 5, which was the number 1 hit for that group back in the 70s as well. Another number 1 for Mariah. Another classic that she ended up remaking was the song Endless Love with Luther Vandross. That's the take on the Lionel Richie and Diana Ross song. That song got to number 2 on Hot 100, so, you know, in addition to writing nearly all of her own hits, Mariah also proved that she could put her voice on any one of these big timeless records and turn it into another smash herself.
She's gone from Without You, 1994, to With You.
I've thought about that. I guess we can do like a With or Without You kind of tour. Maybe that's the next cover, You Two, With or Without You. All right, number 12, maybe another mashup we can somehow see in the future. Before there was Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, there was Mariah Carey's Shake It Off, which was a number 2 hit back in 2005. Again, one of those songs, kind of like Can't Let Go, that I think is a little infamous to Lambs, because if you remember back in 2005, flashback to the early September days, We Belong Together was ending its streak at number 1. Shake It Off ended up being number 2, right behind We Belong Together. And when most people thought that Shake It Off was going to replace We Belong Together at number 1, and she'd be the first female artist to do that, Kanye West came out of nowhere, really, with Gold Digger. That song blew up, knocked We Belong Together out of number 1, and kept Shake It Off at number 2.
But Shake It Off still wound up being a part of the first female artist to replace herself at number 1.
Yeah, and isn't that funny how this kind of works out? You flash forward, go to 2014, there's a song called Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. That song is number 1. And then there's a song called Blank Space that blows up with this music video in particular, goes 13-1. Knocks off Shake It Off, and then Taylor Swift becomes the first woman to replace herself at number 1.
So Kanye helped Taylor Swift get an honor?
It's I'm telling you, it's funny how this chart stuff works out. Wouldn't expect this at all, but yes, how are Mariah, Kanye, Taylor, Shake It Offs related? That is the story. All right, and at number 11, wrapping things up in this section, we got I Don't Want to Cry, a number 1 hit from 1991, spent 2 weeks at the top, was the 4th straight number 1 off of Mariah Carey's debut album. And even though it was a number 1, it seems like she's not a big fan of it. She doesn't really perform this song very much. She's at one point said that she doesn't really think it has much meaning to it, or can't find much emotion into it. So really, I guess unless you heard it maybe way back in the day or at her number 1's concerts in Vegas, not really a song that you're going to see her perform live. But I'm sure she'll take the number 1 in the book. And go on with that.
So in that section of 5 songs, 3 of them weren't number 1s. This entire top 20 countdown, the only Mariah songs not on here that were number 1s over 18, Thank God I Found You in 2000, and her most recent number 1, Touch My Body, back in 2008. So those are just outside the top 20. But other than that, 16 of her 18 Hot 100 number 1s are on this countdown.
And we're going to shift things over to bring in another one of our friends. I guess it's my turn. Gary, at this point, since you did the last one, I'll take this one. going to bring in Dark Clark, a friend of mine, one of the biggest lambs I know, and I'm sure as soon as he gets on the phone, you'll all understand Mariah Carey's got to be one of his favorite things to talk about. So we're going to bring him on to talk about Caution, his thoughts on the new album, and if it's what he expected in 2018. And if I know Dart, Caution will not be the only Mariah project we talk about. I'm sure we'll get into a lot of the other deep cuts, a lot of everything. So even if you're a lamb, you can maybe even learn something from this, or at least enjoy that someone else out there knows just as much as you do. So without further ado, let's ring him up. Here is Dart Clark.
Just last night gone, yet I know that tomorrow comes, so I'll be here when you rise. Stay real close and the moment will subside. Look the other way as I bottle myself up inside. I won't let the teardrops spill tonight. Just conceal myself and hide a portrait of my life.
So, Dart, thanks for joining us today to talk about Mariah and the new Caution album. How many times?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, somebody's excited. How many times have you heard the album?
I've been listening to it kind of nonstop since it was released. Just kind of getting the flow of the album, listening to it like in sequence, randomly. Like my favorite songs have kind of shifted as I've kind of continued to listen to it. And I really like the one thing, if you listen to Mariah's discography from like when she came out with her debut up until now, she always kind of does this refresh of, you know, working with new people. She has this, she, you know, incorporates new sound, but she always has that kind of, it's kind of quintessential Mariah kind of, you know, when you listen to it, like her riff, the voice, the kind of, you know, the signature things that she does with her voice, but she can always kind of stay current. And that's what I really like about the album.
So fun fact, Dart and I, and I guess the copy that Dart may be listening to is an autographed copy. Mariah.
All right.
yeah. Mariah had a signing.
We stood in line for 5 hours in the cold, in the freezing cold, at the album signing. And I had a whole speech that I wanted to kind of say to her about what her music means to me, but I only could like stare at her for 10 seconds and touch her hand and walk away. But she looked angelic and expensive, and she looked amazing. So that was great.
So yeah, if you can tell, Dart is a big Mariah fan. So what about the feeling of this album? Is this what you expected her to come out with when you had first heard GTFO was... The title.
I was a little, because, you know, her last couple of albums, like Nia and Mariah and Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel, didn't really take off with the public. A lot of fans like it, but I was kind of thinking that she would kind of fall back into, you know, she works with Jermaine Dupri a lot, she works with a lot of the same people a lot, that we would get kind of the same sound that we got from Memoirs and Me, I Am Mariah. So I was trying to figure out which direction she was going in when I heard GTFO. But then when she released like The Distance and With You, I started to really warm up to it and like it. And then when the entire album was released, I just started I was just listening to it on repeat. Like my favorite song on the album right now is Eighth Grade. A lot of it sounds really fresh, but it's still a lot for like fans who really love her and know her deep cuts to really like it and fall in love with it.
What are some of your favorite deep Mariah cuts? Maybe songs that weren't singles.
Underneath the Stars, definitely. I like a lot of her, the ones that are more kind of like memoristic or like biographical, like Close My Eyes or Petals. Those kind of songs, but I do like The Roof is definitely one of my top favorites. Breakdown with Bone Thugs and Harmony. If It's Over, a lot of people know like the Ear Candy songs like Fantasy and, you know, We Belong Together, but I really like listening to her albums, like her discography, just like as a whole, her songwriting, the way she kind of uses her voice as an instrument to kind of deliver the song. It's really is really something that I really like about her music.
You talk a lot about, in particular, you mentioned some of the autobiographical songs, and she has this consistency in putting a lot of those songs at the end of her albums, and you know, songs mm-hmm. like Looking In.
A lot of Mariah albums start in the club and end in the church.
They start in the club and end in the church. That's yeah.
Like, it's like that too. Fly Like a Bird. She always has this kind of gospel song, like, you know, like There's Got to Be a Way, that kind of thing. Like she likes to, you know, have like the big pop things like Fantasy, but also, you know, like have Looking In on Daydream. I like how she kind of just has this kind of expansive way of kind of, you know, making piano-based song, but also do songs like Fantasy.
So when you look at, you know, this particular album, obviously the closing song is Portrait, which falls into that same kind of pattern. What do you think about this particular closing song?
Considering the last 3-4 years she's had, it's safe to say it's kind of a disaster in a lot of ways. Portrait, you know, allows Mariah to go back into that kind of, you know, she writes a lot of her songs, so you can hear what she's talking about in that song. She's talking about the bad year she had with her previous manager and just the ups and downs that she's had trying to kind of stay current as a legacy artist.
Now, it's interesting to me because one of the things that you mentioned a little bit earlier and alluded to is how much Mariah Carey's music means to you. And I know there are people out there, when they hear something like that, they roll their eyes because, in a way, it's like the more commercial you are, it's like, you know, how can you find meaning in a Mariah Carey album? She's just kind of a Pop-Tart, pop singer. What do you say to people who think that, you know, there's not really much depth there? It's just, you know, it's about vocals and production and performance, but not really meaning.
Well, I think as Mariah has said many times, since she's like 30 years into her career now, a lot of people don't know like her story of growing up biracial, the things that she went through having a black father, a white mother, growing up in Long Island. You know, she's talked about, you know, way back on the Oprah show, like in the 90s, you know, people used to throw bricks through their window, people poisoned their pets. She grew up feeling like an outsider, so like Outside from Butterfly. A lot of people don't really hear those songs, I guess, because, you know, she talks about it like in the 90s, the record company was pushing her, you know, to, you know, in one direction, and she wanted to go in another direction, and she wanted certain singles to be released, but they weren't released. They released other singles. She didn't have that much control over her career, and so, you know, the songs that people hear are the songs that the label pushed that you hear on the radio. They're not going to play Outside on the radio. They're not going to play Can't Take That Away, really, on the radio, or My Saving Grace. I mean, even though she's performed those songs, a lot of people don't. Those songs don't come to mind when you think of Mariah Carey. She's the one, you know, she stands at a mic, she wears a big glittery gown and with a glittery mic, and she sings. She kind of, you know, has this image of the quintessential diva. You know, she says that, you know, if you're not sitting down strumming a guitar or playing a piano, people don't recognize you as, you know, the songwriter, like you're Bob Dylan or something. But I think that hopefully, since she's this far in her career and, you know, there are people who weren't really fans of her that they like this album, Caution, that kind of pulls them in and they kind of listen to more of her deep cuts on all of her albums. And I think that a lot of her fans connect with the more personal side of her because they may have felt like a lot of fans who are biracial really appreciate her for, you know, writing songs, talking about growing up feeling like an outsider. And, you know, songs like Hero, people who, you know, she has a lot of LGBTQ fans. And so those songs really speak to this, you know, these kind of, you know, underdogs kind of thing, like feeling outside, feeling like a loner. And, you know, they connect to those songs. So I think the general population, they obviously know Fantasy. They know We Belong Together. They know those. They know Heartbreaker, but they don't really kind of delve deep into her fans really know the deep cuts. And I think that, you know, if she keeps releasing music that sounds fresh and current, but, you know, she doesn't lose herself in that, in the music, she's not trying to follow trends, she's just, you know, updating herself. She has a really nice uncanny ability, unlike a lot of her peers, to kind of refresh herself with what's current and kind of, you know, still have her signature on each of her songs, and so hopefully that draws more fans in to kind of listen to those deeper cuts to, you know, understand the more personal side of her.
You said the word glittery a moment ago, Daria, made me think of Glitter. I've always said, and it's easier to say this.
I was just listening to the album.
Yeah, I was going to say it's easier to say this now when now there's the Justice for Glitter campaign. I always thought the Glitter songs were pretty good. I always thought Never Too Far
was
a great song.
The movie is kind of a campy movie. I mean, you know, it wasn't expected to get, like, Best Picture at the Oscar. I mean, it was kind of a series of unfortunate events. She left Sony. She was signing to a new label, and her first album was this, like, concept soundtrack album to a movie that didn't get a lot of reviews. It was released on 9/11. It was just this series of unfortunate events that kind of, you know, led to people, like, not really appreciating the album. I like it. It's a throwback album because she's trying to make it sound like something in the 80s and the 90s. But I mean, her vocals are really good on that album. The songwriting, it's really a quintessential Mariah album.
Yeah.
But you know, it's overlooked because of the reviews it got, and just the story behind its release and just the trouble she was going through at that time. But I really like the album. Just as a person who loves music, but also as a fan. So I'm glad that people are recognizing it now, 17 years later.
One thing I'm realizing at the same time, pretty much that end of the 90s, beginning of the 2000s, two of the biggest stars of the 90s, Mariah and Garth Brooks, both put out these projects that were really perplexed the fans, everybody with Glitter, and Garth Brooks went Chris Gaines. And it's kind of funny how now years later, we're much more okay with the Glitter music. I wonder if justice for Chris Gaines is coming. What do you think, Trevor?
No, well, I think Garth Brooks
shouldn't push it.
Is doing just fine without
all right.
that.
All right.
Thank you, Dar, for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we're going to continue our countdown of Mariah Carey's 20 biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits with the top 10. Can we do a quick Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines countdown? That's what I'm thinking about now.
Wow. You know, I thought Mariah Carey was as good as it gets for Gary, but I guess I guess Garth Brooks is the next one.
We'll keep going.
We'll save that for Garth's birthday or whatever.
Number 10 through number 6. Number 6, Mariah Carey's biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits. Back at number 10, Always Be My Baby. I think it's my favorite Mariah song that isn't All I Want for Christmas Is You. Number 9 from Music Box, Hero. Number 1 for 4 weeks, 1993, 1994. Number 8, Someday. Number 1 for 2 weeks in early 1991. It sounds great. We just heard a piece of it there. But I feel like there's two songs in this countdown, and they're both in this section. Numbers 8 and number 6, that I don't mean this in a bad way, but they sound a little tied to their era. It's the production. They both sound like they're just completely from the early 90s. Someday in Emotions at number 6.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what people wanted, is a little dance pop, sort of maybe Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis Janet adjacent kind of sound. I mean, that was what, you know, I mean, you look at a lot of those records at the time that had to hit that sort of industrial pop kind of vibe, and that was right there in that wheelhouse, but that's what they wanted. Someday, also kind of one of those songs that I think, as you'll see with her debut, when she felt a little more constricted, I believe Nick Cannon, her former husband, mentioned at one point that this was another one of those songs that she really wasn't a huge fan of. So if you've been able to see Mariah perform Sunday Live, that is pretty rare. And even on some of her compilations, like she might put the remix version on there instead or something. So, you know, although number one, massive hit for her, it still goes to show that, you know, sometimes, you know, the biggest hits aren't necessarily the ones that artists fall in love with.
Yeah. So Someday was number 8, Emotions number 6. In the middle, number 7, Dream Lover. It was just 2 years later, 1993. That one to me completely sounds like it still fits in 2018. Doesn't sound tied at all to the 90s. I think she just took a production, a stylistic leap on the Music Box album that just sounds completely different in terms of just what's surrounding her vocals.
You know what's interesting to me is I think Dream Lover is, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's almost like one of those polished pop songs I've ever heard.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
Well, so, you know, some people will say that, some people will take that as a great compliment that it's universally like perfect. And some people will take that as, you know, it's sort of soulless and wiped clean of anything. But I mean, everything from the organs to, it almost sounds like a commercial or a dream. Like it's almost like, almost too good to be true in a weird way.
You're saying nothing but good things. These are all good qualities.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah. So 8 weeks at number one in 93 for Dream Lover, and Emotions 3 weeks at number one in 1991 for Mariah. Our own Andrew Unterberger from Billboard.com just wrote about the new album Caution. So we're getting all these reviews here this week on the podcast. Let's get Andrew's take, his thoughts on Caution, which story he wrote on Billboard.com, called it the perfect Mariah album for 2018.
Ooh, I'm in love, it's true. Yeah, damn, I fix with you. And we all make mistakes sometimes, but I'm out of through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, baby, I'm in love, it's true.
Yeah. All right, so talking about Mariah Carey, Caution, Andrew Unterberger from Billboard.com. As much as we're talking about Mariah, you've been writing maybe as much.
Topic of conversation on the site these days.
All right, so you just wrote a piece on Billboard.com saying that Caution is the perfect Mariah album for 2018.
Yeah, I would say so. It's a good mix of you know, stuff that the fan base has come to expect from Mariah, stuff that they would kind of want you know, a later period Mariah album to address, and then to kind of throw back to past glories, but also has kind of one foot in the present, even a little bit towards the future. You know, it's got, I think both the producers and the guests are very well chosen to, you know, kind of keep one foot in both the past and the present, and no one involved really feels out of place, and everyone, you know, she got some pretty big names on there, people you wouldn't necessarily expect to be on a Mariah album, from the, you know, producers like Skrillex to guest rappers like Gunna. But all of them kind of, none of them really like exert their personality on the album too strongly. They all kind of take a backseat. Like, okay, no, this is a Mariah Carey album. We're here, you know, to be a service to the Mariah Carey album. They all kind of have that respect. And I think it's a really solid listen. I think the songs are really strong. I think, you know, it contains little kind of hints of like, you know, it's a sort of 90s nostalgia, but, you know, it doesn't dwell on it for too long. It feels very modern a lot in a lot of ways, and I think it's just a really strong album.
Ain't nobody stopping us. What we have is dangerous.
You talk about the 90s. I feel like one of the, just something very as simple as the beginning of The Distance, how it there's this core that it kind of sounds really similar to Can't Let Go, right? Okay. At the beginning.
I hadn't thought about that.
On purpose, but it kind of feels like that. I think it's a good point about how it's not like she necessarily put Drake front and center on a track and said, I need to have a hit in 2018. Right. It's just kind of, yeah, it's more, I guess, more Mariah than you might have expected.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, it doesn't really pander to 2018 audiences. There is, you know, the Gunna song is probably the closest, but it's, even that doesn't feel like a play first, you know, a Spotify audience or anything like that. It just feels like, okay, well, Mariah's always been pretty invested in hip hop, and this is kind of one of the big rappers of the moment, so it makes sense that he would appear on this album. But you're right, there isn't that big Drake song, there isn't that big song that sounds like something you would just hear kind of random on a New Music Friday playlist or something like that. It's it's not likely, I don't think, you know, I don't think we're going to be discussing these songs in the top 10 countdown anytime soon. But, you know, the album sold pretty strongly for the first week. I think, you know, the reviews have been pretty strong across the board. I think the fan base is happy. The Lambo is at ease. So, I think this is about as good as we could have hoped for Mariah at this point in her career. And she really kind of makes it look effortless, too. You know, it doesn't feel like she's ever trying too hard at any point in the album. It doesn't feel like she's stretching herself too thin. It doesn't feel like she's pandering. It doesn't feel like she's really doing anything except playing to her own strengths, and she knows what those are, and she knows what the people want from her, and she's giving it to them. There is sort of a feeling of her, like, kind of, I don't know, playing with house money almost. Like, it doesn't feel like there were tremendous stakes in this album. I don't think anyone went into it thinking, okay, this is going to be the album that puts Mariah back on, like, Ariana Grande's level of popularity.
Choice comparison.
Look, you know, these are different generations at this point, and it's unlikely, I think, that, you know, it's unlikely for most, you know, veteran stars who've been around for 25 plus years already that they're going to kind of have this sort of pop presence that someone like Ariana has now. But, this is sort of an album that just kind of reestablishes her as someone that people really want to hear from. Like, I compared it, I was talking about it on the Must Hear Music podcast, and I kind of compared it more with the Carter Five almost, where it's just like, it's good to have Mariah back. Like, that Lil Wayne album was more ambitious, and it, you know, has more of an imprint on kind of pop music in 2018. But mostly it was just like, hey, like, we haven't heard from this guy in forever. It feels great to have him back in our lives. And I sort of feel the same way with the Mariah album, where it's just like, this is a very solid Mariah Carey album, and that's cool. That's a thing that we were missing for a while.
Like, when Madonna puts out a new album, it's so sure. hard. There's a handful of artists like this that for so long, when they would put out an album, you expected, you know, 5 top 10 hits, mm-hmm. a couple number ones. And it's kind of by habit, it's kind of when you hear a new Mariah album, you think, okay, what are the number one hits from it? So it's kind of hard to wrap your head around that. It's a different time now.
Yeah. I Am Mariah, the Elusive Chanteuse didn't exactly set the charts on fire either. But I thought that was a pretty solid album too.
Yeah.
It's not going to make anybody forget about kind of her 90s highs, I don't think. But it was a good album for a fan base, I'm sure was pretty into it. And that's sort of where she is in her career. And she kind of feels like she's owning it on this album. And I respect that.
House money, as you said. Yeah, if we can get a few new great songs from her, great.
And I also wouldn't rule out the possibility, you know, if she was sort of on that Drake album this year for Emotionless. I mean, she wasn't a credited artist on that, but he obviously sampled her in a very prominent way. I wouldn't be shocked if he got if eventually, you know, someone like Drake had her on a song in kind of a similar capacity and sort of like the way he had, you know, Michael Jackson on Don't Matter to Me. Not obviously Michael Jackson, but, you know, she could either provide a hook or she could just be very heavily sampled or interpolated in a hook. And I could see her being credited on another top 10 type hit that way.
All right. And 5 to go. And I mean, really, even if you're not necessarily a big Mariah Carey fan, you probably know all 5 of these songs very well. And you probably could have guessed all 5 of these songs very well.
Yeah.
number five. That was Fantasy. Big hit back in 1995. 8 weeks at number one. I know it and love it from the Rush Hour. There's like a clip in the beginning of Rush Hour where the little girl's dancing in the back of the car to the song. That's how I first heard it.
I first heard it when I was working AC radio and we thought, can we play this? A little too R&B. Isn't what we heard from Mariah before?
So if you thought that was raunchy, ooh, the remix would have been way out of your league, because I'm sure as many people know, soon after that song dropped, there was a Bad Boy remix that featured Old Dirty Bastard, and that song really, some people may argue with, is the song that took hip-hop and pop and put them together in a way that had never been done before, and whose effects we're still seeing all the way down to this day. So, I mean, Mariah's big fan and love of hip-hop really paid off with that. Even though the remix was not the song that went to number one, I'd argue in some ways, and maybe at least one of the remixes that's just as well known, if not more known, than the original. Number four, the song that started it all, Vision of Love, number one hit, Mariah's very first, back in 1990, 4 weeks at number one. I mean, still holds up to me as one of the best songs in her entire catalog. Just the song that gave us everything from that high note, her first Grammy Award, just number one hit. I mean, this is just really, you know, a classic.
I still think it, for its time, it really stood out. It's much more classy in some ways than other music that was out at that time. And I think that's one of the biggest feats, that it was Mariah doing what only Mariah could do, and it totally worked.
Yeah, and taking that song all the way from a demo, you know, an original song that she and Ben Margulies wrote, taking it all the way to number one. It's just really, you know, the fulfillment of a dream. And look how big that dream ended up being. Number three, the song followed Vision of Love to number one. That is Love Takes Time. Second number one hit of her career, 3 weeks back in 1990. So already proving herself within just a few months that she was going to be a force that was here to stay. Moving into the top two, these are, I mean, by far two of Mariah's biggest hits. And in terms of chart performance, the songs that the Lambs just love to talk about. Number two, One Sweet Day, duet with Boyz II Men. And this song, as I guess to the detriment of some Lambs, used to hold the record all by itself for most weeks at number one on the Hot 100 with 16 weeks. It was just over a year ago, the tail end of last summer in 2017, that unfortunately another song made it all the way to a Sweet 16. Despacito, Luis Fonsi, and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber. But luckily, and this is where Taylor Swift, I guess, comes back into the picture in a lot of ways, Taylor Swift was able to get to number one and prevent the song from getting 17 weeks. So thanks to Taylor Swift, who took a record from Mariah,
Yeah. She
at least preserved a record for Mariah.
Well, Mariah worked with Justin Bieber on a cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You at the beginning of the decade. I wonder if...
had she known what was going to happen.
Right, maybe she wouldn't have helped make him as popular, so Despacito wouldn't have become as big as it did.
It's funny, you know, it's funny how it all comes back around. You know, you don't think of Mariah and Taylor as related as they are, but sure enough, on these charts, they bump into each other a little more often than you think. And of course, at number one, massive, massive hit. The number one song, not only of 2005, but of the entire 2000s decade. So until next year, really the reigning champ in terms of songs of the decade. It is We Belong Together, a song that, if nothing else, proved all the critics wrong that Mariah Carey was still a force to be reckoned with 15 years in her career. I'm sure everybody knows the story. She had fallen on hard times after Glitter and Charm Bracelet underperformed. People thought she was done. She'd been out for 15 years. That's a normal lifespan of, you know, a major act. No one thought she had a second wind in her. Gets together with Jermaine Dupri and the OGs, L.A. Reid. Not only, I mean, this is a, you know, you could not have predicted this hit in 2005 by any means. 14 weeks at number one, dominates that year on radio in particular.
Not even the first single from the album.
No, second single from the album, wins her first Grammy Awards all the way back since 1991. I mean, this song, for all intents and purposes, put Mariah Carey on the map once again, maybe bigger than ever, and probably most importantly, introduced an entire new generation to her music. You know, there's something about, it's not Mariah necessarily having to show off, like that she can, you know, sort of sing all these runs and ups and downs. There's something kind of cool about the vocal pattern that I think I don't know, it just kind of was like attractive.
Yeah, a little more subdued.
And that made it,
yeah.
And that made it sort of work. And then, you know, and it gives you a place to build to, of course, by the end when, you know, we raise the octave and we're all, you know, shouting right. out the chorus and everything. I mean, it's just one of those songs that, like again, I mean, just in terms of not only just the hit quality, but in terms of just an actual song. I mean, this is a well-crafted song. 14 weeks at number one, biggest song of the decade. I'm sure that put a smile back on her face.
All right, so that wraps up Mariah Week on the Billboard Charfy Podcast. Counting down her top 20 biggest top 100 hits, talking Caution, talking Glitter, talking all things Mariah. We'll still be able to talk about Mariah going forward. I don't think we used up everything. We'll still talk about
No, her. There's still plenty of chart records out there we haven't even touched. Yeah.
All right, so that's this week's episode. Coming back next week, as we're saying before, we don't know what's going to be number one. Could be a toss-up between Thank You Next and Sicko Mode and Happier and Halsey or Panic at the Disco. So we'll find out.
Everybody's in contention. Yeah. You know, we're all, especially with, I mean, all those acts. I mean, Travis Scott, Marshmello, Bastille, Panic at the Disco, and I guess Halsey as a lead artist, all of them looking for their first number one.
Right.
So would be a big thing for, you know, just like Ariana got her first number one, would be a big week for somebody else.
Oh, we definitely will talk more Mariah, because we're going to talk AC radio and holiday music coming up. So more All I Want for Christmas Is You music coming up. We're going to have a couple guests on from Nielsen, Haley Jones and John Miller, talking about why AC radio goes holiday music, especially maybe early for some people, even before Thanksgiving. So we're going to talk about the ratings behind that and why stations do that, and also some big holiday streaming hits that maybe haven't made their way to radio yet that you might be hearing going forward. So that's all coming up next week. Should we close with more, Mariah?
Well, I was going to say, I was trying to think if it should be a deep cut from the new album, but I guess because I just want to hear this, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, if you don't know the Fantasy remix, that is going to never be the case again, because here it is, the song that Gary definitely could not play on AC radio back in 1995.
We actually played an AC edit that was even softer than the pop version.
Oh, that's so weak. All right, we're going to give Old Dirty Bastard his due. Here we go. Rest in peace. Thank you for joining us. And here is the Bad Boy remix of Fantasy.
With pacifiers, old dirt dog, no liar. Keep the fantasy hot like fire.
Jump, let me see you do the stomp. Girls, let me see you shake your rump. Your brothers, from the back, and the brothers, do it.